Good morning, everyone. Let's begin our Sunday church service this morning by singing hymn number 175. Lo, he sent his word and healed them. Still, that word of God is here. Still, its tender, healing message speaks to every listening ear. Truth divine that overcometh all the ills that seem to be, in our hearts thy word abiding, we may know thee and be free. Hymn number 175. Wendy from South Carolina will now read a selection from the scriptures. Go ahead, Wendy.
I will read from the Bible, 1 Corinthians. God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Luke. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And they departed and went through the town, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I will give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer, and then follow by repeating the Lord's Prayer, together with its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one,
thy kingdom come,
thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all, and all. Let us now sing hymn number 75. God comes with succor speedy to those who suffer wrong, to help the poor and needy, and bid the weak be strong. He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free, to take away transgression, and rule in equity. Hymn number 75.
Thank you.
and welcome to the Sunday morning service from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. Everyone is welcome here, and we're so glad that you all joined us this morning. We start every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock with our roundtable discussion, which is a training session in Christian Science. And if you haven't heard it this morning, you can go to our website and find the recording of it. And in fact, we have many recordings on our website, and I highly encourage everyone to browse through it and see what we have to offer. And there is quite a bit there. And it's all free of charge, and it all comes with the love of this church. And in fact, we have multiple websites in multiple languages, and thereby we are able to reach people from across the globe. And indeed, people from all over the world have found one or more of our websites, have found our church, have found God's healing and inspiring word, and we're thankful for each and every one of you who have done so. I'd like to remind everyone that we have a Sunday school that we offer. It meets every Sunday at 11 a.m. Our Sunday school has a teleconference feature, one dedicated exclusively for the Sunday school, and this enables students that don't live in the area to attend our Sunday school by telephone. And what this means is that your child also can attend our Sunday school by phone, regardless of where you live. Call up the church, and we would be happy to give you the number for the Sunday school. And the teachers there would be most happy to welcome your child. I would also like to mention that we meet together here every Wednesday evening at 8:15 p.m. for our weekly testimony meeting, where you can hear beautiful music, inspired readings from the King James Bible and from the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. And you can also hear those testify of the healing power of Christian Science, how it has healed them, how it has made their life better. We have a good God who does good things. And on our Wednesday testimony meeting, we hear a lot about just that. Okay, and moving on now, Shahidat from Maryland will now read a testimony of healing, which confirms the healing power just by reading and studying our textbook, Science and Health. Okay, go ahead, Shahidat.
This is from Miscellaneous Writings, page 417. In the February journal, it appears there is someone who says that Science and Health with key to the scriptures is hard to understand, and who thinks she can explain it. Perhaps my experience with Science and Health may help someone who might otherwise take up this thought and so be led away from the truth. After reading and studying it for some time and talking to the scientists I met in my travels, the thought came to me, why not try these truths on yourself? I did so, and to my surprise and great joy, I found immediate relief. Dyspepsia, the trouble of the most commercial travelers, cholera, and many lesser beliefs left me, so that in a short time I was a well man. And by no other means than trusting to the Savior's promises as explained in Science and Health. This took place while I was traveling about the country. On my return home, I gave my wife treatments. In many instances, the blessings came before the treatment was finished, and often we proved that only a thought of the power of truth was sufficient to give relief. One Sunday morning, soon after my return, a friend called and asked if I could give him anything to relieve his wife, who he said had been suffering for some days with rheumatism in her shoulder, so severely that she could neither dress alone nor comb her hair. I told him that the only medicine we had in the house was Christian Science. He laughed at the idea, but before he left, he asked if I would give his wife a treatment. I told him I was very young in science, but if she wished it, I would. He went home but returned immediately, saying she wished me to come. And I asked help from the Fountain of Truth and started my first treatment to be given away from home. When I left their room, 15 minutes later, she was shaking her hand high above her head and exclaiming, "I am all right, I am well." That was in November 1887, and she has had no return of the belief since. A friend told me that his son, 12 years old, had cataracts so badly that his breath was very offensive. His throat troubled him all the time, and that he had been deaf since he had the measles. In less than 3 weeks, both beliefs vanished. This was a case of absent treatment. I could give you other cases, but I think I have said enough to prove that science and health is not hard to understand, for my work has all been done without my ever attending class. From HHB, New York City.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and the correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the words from our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or unfettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. Our lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 4 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Are sin, disease, and death real? The golden text is from James. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The responsive reading is from Psalms and Acts. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases?
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies?
And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul,
so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them.
Lenny from Georgia will now read.
I will read from the Bible. Luke. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Mark. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. Matthew. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Acts. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Romans. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Matthew. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
I will now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. The real man cannot depart from holiness. Divine truth, life, and love gave Jesus authority over sin, sickness, and death. His mission was to reveal the science of celestial being, to prove what God is and what he does for man. When will the error of believing that there is life in matter and that sin, sickness, and death are creations of God be unmasked? When will it be understood that matter has neither intelligence, life, nor sensation, and that the opposite belief is the prolific source of all suffering? God created all through mind and made all perfect and eternal. There is but one primal cause. Therefore, there can be no effect from any other cause, and there can be no reality in aught which does not proceed from this great and only cause. Sin, sickness, disease, and death belong not to the science of being. They are the errors which presuppose the absence of truth, life, or love. Jesus strips all disguise from error when his teachings are fully understood. By parable and argument, he explains the impossibility of good producing evil. And he also scientifically demonstrates this great fact, proving by what are wrongly called miracles, that sin, sickness, and death are beliefs, elusive errors, which he could and did destroy. In divine science, man is the true image of God. The divine nature was best expressed in Christ Jesus, who threw upon mortals the truer reflection of God and lifted their lives higher than their poor thought models would allow. Thoughts which presented man as fallen, sick, sinning, and dying. The Christ-like understanding of scientific being and divine healing includes a perfect principle and idea. Perfect God and perfect man as the basis of thought and demonstration. If man was once perfect, but has now lost his perfection, then mortals have never beheld in man the reflex image of God. The lost image is no image. The true likeness cannot be lost in divine reflection. Understanding this, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Again, God, or good, never made man capable of sin. It is the opposite of good, that is, evil, which seems to make men capable of wrongdoing. Hence, evil is but an illusion, and it has no real basis. Evil is a false belief. God is not its author. The supposititious parent of evil is a lie. The Bible declares, "All things were made by him, the divine word, and without him was not anything made that was made." This is the eternal verity of divine science. If sin, sickness, and death were understood as nothingness, they would disappear. As vapors melt before the sun, so evil would vanish before the reality of good. One must hide the other. How important, then, to choose good as the reality. Man is tributary to God, Spirit, and to nothing else. God's being is infinity, freedom, harmony, and boundless bliss. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Like the archpriests of yore, man is free to enter into the holiest, the realm of God. To the Christian Science healer, sickness is a dream from which the patient needs to be awakened. Disease should not appear real to the physician, since it is demonstrable that the way to cure the patient is to make disease unreal to him. To do this, the physician must understand the unreality of disease in science. Keep distinctly in thought that man is the offspring of God, not of man. That man is spiritual, not material. That soul is spirit, outside of matter, never in it, never giving the body life and sensation. It breaks the dream of disease to understand that sickness is formed by the human mind, not by matter, nor by the divine mind. The Christianly scientific real is the sensuous unreal. Sin, disease, whatever seems real to material sense is unreal in divine science. The physical senses and science have ever been antagonistic, and they will so continue till the testimony of the physical senses yields entirely to Christian science. How can a Christian, having the stronger evidence of truth, which contradicts the evidence of error, think of the latter as real or true, either in the form of sickness or of sin? All must admit that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that omnipotent truth certainly does destroy error. The age has not wholly outlived the sense of ghostly beliefs. It still holds them, more or less. Time has not yet reached eternity, immortality, complete reality. All the real is eternal. Perfection underlies reality. Without perfection, nothing is wholly real. All things will continue to disappear until perfection appears and reality is reached. We must give up the spectral at all points. We must not continue to admit the somethingness of superstition, but we must yield up all belief in it and be wise. When we learn that error is not real, we shall be ready for progress, forgetting those things which are behind. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Savior saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. We must form perfect models in thought and look at them continually, or we shall never carve them out in grand and noble lives. Let unselfishness, goodness, mercy, justice, health, holiness, love, the kingdom of heaven, reign within us. And sin, disease, and death will diminish until they finally disappear. Let us now have a silent prayer for our world. Let us now sing hymn number 253. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. O'er waiting harp strings of the mind, there sweeps a strain, low, sad, and sweet, whose measures bind the power of pain and wake a white-winged angel throng of thoughts, illumined by faith and breathed in raptured song with love perfumed. Hymn number 253. Thank you. Let's now sing hymn number 326. The Christian warrior, see him stand in all the armor of his God. The Spirit's sword is in his hand. His feet are with the gospel shod. Hymn number 326.
The Christian warrior.
will read the Christian Science textbook, the Scientific Statement of Being, and correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Amen.